Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinelle, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, SusieMazzoli-Healer.com, or InsightOasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at ActiveSpirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to ActiveSpirituality.life with Pamela Cuccinelle and Susie Mazzoli. Pam is going to tell us all about week number 44 starting on October the 26th, Monday. And we are still in the year 2020, folks, still here. I believe there's like 9 weeks left to go for this year and a couple of weeks to the presidential election in America. So, Pam, what's in store for us? I will jump in at the end for our 10 minutes of meditation as we always do.
Okay, so the week of the 26th starts out with the moon in the sign of Pisces, which is where it's at for the first 2 days, the 26th and the 27th. This is the week leading up to the once in a blue moon, which is the second full moon that happens for the month of October. So I'll talk a little about that when we get closer to it. But basically what we're experiencing is the waxing moon cycle, when the moon is growing to full. So when we're in waxing moon cycle energy, it's really excellent for building concepts, creating something that you want to set as a goal, realizing intentions. The thing that needs to be said is that Mercury is retrograde, which means communications, electronics, appointments may not work as we had originally intended. The thing that's really valuable to keep in mind when Mercury is retrograde is that it is trickster energy. We benefit from having a sense of humor when Mercury is retrograde. In the sign of Scorpio, which it is in, it's that humor sometimes can have an edge or a barb to it. That's not really the most beneficial way to be using the energy. However, some people may be doing that. And I think one of the lessons when Mercury is retrograde in the sign of Scorpio is to have us really reflect and receive how those barbs cloaked in humor really are delivered, so that we take responsibility or we reconsider if that's our orientation. So people may be called on that, what they think of as sarcasm or something they're conveying in an underhanded way. The RE, when planets are retrograde, we are invited to do everything that is in an RE sensation. So reconsider, reassess, reevaluate, redo, edit, look at things from a new orientation. This is very valuable when the planet that has to do with communication is retrograde. So in the sign of Pisces, the moon basically creates a mood when we are receptive to especially sound, when we are amplified in our ability to resonate with another's feelings. And for some of us, this is a much more natural way to be than others. Some people may feel a bit even invaded by this sense of where are the boundaries. Other people feel very much in their flow of being able to recognize, another RE word, recognize when to take action and why to take action. What is the temperature of the room? For water signs and perhaps some earth signs, this way of seeing and understanding can be very acute over these 2 days, because the moon is actually well aspected in spite of the retrogrades. The other retrograde to keep in mind is the planet Mars. Mars is about action, initiation, passion, desire, and anger. So as I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, anyone who feels a need to be defensive, act out, respond in anger, is best served by reflecting before they react, before they put that anger out there or defensiveness out there. Because anyone who initiates from an angry place, a defensive, aggressive place, ends up losing the argument when Mars is retrograde. This can be a little different depending on your personal horoscope, but in general, that's how we look at it. So the 26th, 27th, as I said, good days to be building on intention, getting things realized, having conversations where you go over something, really look at it, soften the barbs, soften the anger, come to places of responsibility, another RE word, to recommit to whatever the commitments and partnerships are. Very, very strong on this. Also excellent for opportunity, for looking into investments or how to invest or how to strategize money. Great days for this, especially people who work instinctually. The people with a very strong money vibe tend to be people with water strong in their chart, Scorpio, Pisces, Cancer, because these signs, not just the sun sign, perhaps it's the moon, Venus, Mars, these folks really understand how money has to spread around, how it has to flow, how it has to move. So this can be excellent times for those kind of discussions. And overall, just a really good feeling couple of days to be with people you love, to connect to someone who you're concerned about, doing altruistic or loving acts. In general, any day is good for that, but the 26th and 27th have very strong vibes of impulse. Gee, I haven't heard from so-and-so for a while. Let me give them a call. Let me reach out. So respond to those kind of impulses or guides that come up for you over these couple of days. The moon goes void, of course, at 8:46 p.m. When the moon goes void, of course, we are no longer in a movement when the moon is making planetary configurations to another heavenly body. So when that happens, we are not as emotionally attached to the outcome. So do what needs to be done before that point in time. And then as of 8:46 p.m. Eastern time, all the times I give are Eastern time, please adjust depending on where you are on the planet. At that point in time, it's just an excellent evening or wherever you happen to be in daylight time to recharge and absorb. Excellent for meditation, for therapeutic work, these 2 days, but especially once that moon is void, of course, for doing things that allow you to drift and reflect and absorb. Both Mercury and Venus enter the sign of Libra at this time. Mercury has backtracked to Libra, and Venus is entering the sign of Libra. So it lightens the energy of these two planets, meaning, as I was saying earlier, how Mercury communicates, but also with Venus, what it is we seek or look for in communication and response from the other. Libra looks to balance, to reciprocate, to give and take. So we're in a few weeks of conversations that allow diplomacy, compromise, and more balance. If you've been seeing a lack of balance in your life or in conversations, this can be a time when that enters in. On the 28th, the moon enters the sign of Aries as of 4:45 a.m. Eastern time. And once that begins, the energy is different. It's fire energy. It's what we call cardinal. It initiates. And it can be a very bumpy pre-dawn, especially with people who have a history of feeling, if my needs are met, what I want doesn't happen. If what I want happens, then I might be missing having my needs met. So it's just important, if you're feeling that, to kind of observe it. It's a transit, it passes. And for many of people, especially in the Eastern time zone, you'll be sleeping through it, so you won't even know what hit you. So overall, the day is, it wants to move quickly, although with the Mars retrograde, things are not happening as quickly as one might like. So depending on your horoscope, especially people with strong Aries or Scorpio placements or Mars prominent in their horoscope, they may be feeling very frustrated, as though there's blocks or energetic walls in front of the flow that they want to have happen or make happen. And this is temporary, but it can stir up a sense of frustration, because we are in the waxing moon period. We are in building energy. So some of us may feel like there's a lot of stops to the energetic flow. As Susie mentioned, we are in the last several days before the United States Election Day. So we can foresee a lot of strife and challenges over these couple of days that would be happening in the United States. So as an individual, be conscious. If you feel yourself frustrated, breathe into it. Let the energy move somewhat, because otherwise the sense of overwhelm or being thwarted, it's not going to benefit you. So see situations where maybe you're feeling a bit stuck or inhibited, and breathe into the possibility that this is a temporary situation, and it is, and there will be answers, resolutions, or avenues for movement within the next, well, it could be, depending on the situation, it could be until Mars goes direct, which doesn't happen until mid-November. So the wisdom here is, do not try to force something that is not moving as you think it needs to be, because once again, anything that's forced or asserted in ways that go contrary to the flow tend to boomerang back. This is also, the 29th is also a day when a lot of options and possibilities may be presented to you. Sometimes options are, okay, I have a lot of options, but none of them look really good to me. So it's not necessarily a bad idea to just put things on the back burner or say to yourself, this is not a time for decision making or forcing something forward. So how do I work with what I have at this point in time instead of trying to push the camel through the needle? On the 30th, the moon goes void of course at 12:13 p.m. So this can be a very challenging morning. I would say if you can avoid rushing around or having to get somewhere, it's really a good plan to just not. Even telecommuting may feel as though the Zoom thing keeps bouncing me out or things are not working necessarily as I would like them to. So I would keep a pretty light schedule the morning of the 30th, if possible. And then when the moon goes void, of course, at 12:13 p.m. Eastern time, this is just a good time to work on something already in motion, spend some energy doing whatever exercise, walking, or out in nature routine you have. At 5:19 p.m., the moon enters Taurus. Now we're in a much more productive, concentrated period of time. So this late afternoon, early evening, into the evening is when you put the thrust on whatever it is you want to wrap up or get in motion or make some sort of statement about before that full moon tomorrow. And in the sign of Taurus, as we're getting towards the full moon, what's important to realize is that you have been receiving information about transformation, how things need to shape shift, get adjusted, back to the energetic flow I was talking about for Monday, Tuesday. What helps to grow not only money, but possibilities. And that's through interrelated collaboration, where you can bring something through interactive collaboration or investment and bring it down to an actual product, intention, or project. And so in this full moon period, you might actually be integrating those thoughts or completing something, or you might simply be considering, how this would look and what I would do with that. But what's important is to view it in terms of how can I make this concept, intention, collaboration, concrete, and something that actually has value. And that's taking something more conceptual or how people are connected in certain ways and bringing it down to some sort of result. That's if you're using the energy of the Taurus sign. Otherwise, full moon in general is about integrating disparate energy, integrating the polarities, considering positive and negative, dark and light, things that don't seem to come together, and seeing how you can integrate that in ways that make you stronger. Because acceptance of the duality and the contrast actually makes us stronger than division or separation. The full moon is exact at 10:49 a.m., which sets up a full moon through Halloween. Halloween Samhain, as it's called by Wicca, consider this a time when the veil is thinnest. And moon in the sign of Taurus, I would say it's excellent energy for ancestral connections. What is the legacy that's been handed down within your family? Even if it's not tangible, even if it's not, hey, this is my mother's silverware or my grandmother's china, what is the legacy, the mythology, the stories of family? And it doesn't have to be family of birth origin. Sometimes it's family you create, depending on your circumstance and situation. So, and maybe it's about the legacy or what you're creating, but it's also about connection to the earth, because the earth is, and climate change is the result of the legacy of all the people who came before us, but also how we've been working or doing disservice to the earth in our time on it. So I think the void of course period is an excellent time, not necessarily to resolve anything, but to work in terms of considering legacy, considering earth, considering ways that you can connect. And for some of us, there may be projects already in motion that we're working with, and this is an excellent time to visit that. But in light of Halloween and Samhain, also think in terms of what are those ancestral connections. And if you can give yourself some quiet meditative time, open up to the voices that are always available to us that might have some sort of message or information that is helpful at this point in time. On Sunday the 1st, I noticed daylight savings time ends, and one friend basically said to me, I'm not turning my clocks back because I don't want one more hour to be added to 2020. I can't wait for 2020 to be over. So regardless of how you feel about that, it is the time when fall back, clocks are turned back, certainly in the United States and other countries. So as the moon is in the sign of Taurus, it makes many auspicious connections. So this is coming off that full moon energy. It's a dynamic day for bringing in opportunity, bringing down to earth tangible manifestation of what you want to create. There's a picture in the sky between Mercury and Saturn, which drives home the absolute importance of being clear of what you say, being responsible for your communications, and following through, especially with neighbors and siblings, because it matters how we say things, how we receive information, and sometimes we have to talk it out to make sure we really chew on it, understand it, and digest the information. And then the moon goes void, of course, at 9:29 p.m., after which time this is just an excellent evening to recharge, get a good night's sleep so that you're rested on the week of the United States Election Day week. And now I turn it over to Susie.
Oh, and you're not even going to give us any little like tidbits for that week? Everyone's on their tippy toes waiting for news. Can you just give
Well, the only thing I will say absolutely is that if you can vote in the United States, if you have the right to vote in the United States, you've heard me talk a lot about Saturn in Capricorn and Pluto in Capricorn. Take responsibility for the privilege, whatever the privilege is that you experience in this life. And in countries that allow voting, it is a responsibility to vote. Well, I'll use strong terminology. It is negligence to the responsibility of your place as a voting citizen to not vote. So that's what I will say. And in the United States, it seems that more people are going to be voting in this election than maybe any other time in history. That's all. And I'll talk more on Monday. But for the third, do. Because with Mercury retrograde election day, it's absolutely fact that the earlier you can vote, the better.
Okay. So I hope that everyone heard that clearly enough. Pam was dropping out a bit. But the thing is, go and vote if you can. And if you can vote, vote earlier. So let's go into our meditation. I invite everybody to take 10 minutes to meditate together with me. And as you just find that quiet place, I'm going to ask you now for a very strange thing. I'm going to ask you now to see yourself as on the right-hand side of the equals sign in a mathematical equation. So you are the end result, you are the total. And what has come before you, I'm going to go back 400 years, let's say. So for the last 400 years, all of the people that have come before you. So we're going back into the 1600s. So we're looking now to your parents, to your grandparents, to your great-grandparents, and we'll go back to your great-grandparents that are your second, so the second great-grandparents, so that's 16 people. And most of us, we don't know these people. We're lucky. We're lucky if we know our grandparents, and very lucky if we know our great-grandparents. But most of us have not physically met or seen, and some of us don't even know anything about those generations before us. So whether we're adopted or we know our birth families, we do have a very clear genetic, biological background. And those people that have come before us have had lives, perhaps short lives, long lives, definitely long enough to procreate. Those lives have had perhaps some great successes, some difficulties, illnesses, deaths, hopefully lots of wonderful love stories, creation stories, fun stories, happy stories. They lived life through a different time when there was no running water, perhaps. In most cases, definitely, there was no electricity. There weren't cars or aeroplanes. And they lived definitely much, much different lives. They were closer to the earth. They were more in tune with the cycles of the earth. And let's just imagine if we know anything about these people or the countries that they came from. Just imagine these people, and let's go back to our third set of great-grandparents, which are 32 different people. And then our fourth great-grandparents, 64 different people. And each one of them is somehow a part of you now. You are the end result. You are the culmination of all of these people's DNA. And as that DNA is mixed together to create new individuals, new parents, new people, that are procreating, falling in love, having children, being forced into marriage perhaps, being betrothed or organized marriages. And then we go back even further to our sixth great-grandparents, to our seventh great-grandparents, then to our eighth great-grandparents. And here we're in the thousands of people. We'll go all the way now. Let's go 12 previous generations before you. 12 different couples of people that have come before you, spanning around 400 years. 4,094 ancestors, each and every single one of you have had over the last 400 years. Over 4,000 different lives over the last 400 years, equal to you here and now, your ancestors, many, many, many lives. What knowledge, what experience, what tremendous amounts of life come from all of these people. And here they are now. Here they are now in you. You are the result. You are the culmination. So it is not just you and your parents and your blue eyes or your red hair. It is not you and your parents and your black skin and your brown eyes. You are the result of thousands of years of human existence, of people that have been living on this earth, close to the earth, that have every moment of their lives been connected to other people and to this world. Let's open up and receive the beneficial information for us to be here now as humans, just as our grandparents and many, many, many generations of great-grandparents that have come before us have been here in harmony and in peace with the land, with the earth, with each other. Let's allow this information, this wisdom of the ancestors to come to us. And as the veils are thinnest now coming up, let's really honor our ancestors. Thank you. Thank you for coming before me. Thank you for being stewards of the earth. Thank you for bringing science and art and culture. Thank you for bringing spirituality, religion, understanding. Thank you, ancestors. Thank you for coming before me. And as we express our gratitude, we open the doors to the wisdom of these people, that this wisdom becomes not only a part of our DNA, but it really becomes a way that we live, that we live our lives knowing that thousands of generations have come before us, and thousands of generations will come after us. And it is up to us now to live our lives with love for those future generations. That we are stewards of our bodies, of our families, of the land. That we take care and nurture everything, our relationships, our earth, knowing that many, many, many generations are coming after us, and that we pass on through these generations now, we pass on the wisdom to everyone that comes after us, everyone that comes following us. Gently opening our eyes, opening our mind, opening our hearts and saying thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us. And again, we'll be with you next week. Please vote for the climate.
You have been listening to ActiveSpirituality.life with Susie Mazzoli and Pamela Cuccinell. You can find out more about our work on activespirituality.life, and we really hope you have found this episode helpful. Please share it with your friends, and if you feel so moved, we appreciate your donations. activespirituality.life. Have a beautiful week.